coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 25th day of October, 2023, in the year of our Lord. And have I got a great show lined up for you today? I mean, I am so excited. There's going to be an folks, buckle up, because there's going to be an information download like you will not believe. I have a guest. You know how you can tell a kindred spirit? When you meet someone, whether it's in person or from afar, but you have a conversation. Well, this is my kindred spirit, I guarantee you. And he's got some absolutely just phenomenal information. He is a talk radio host. He's host of Sovereign Radio in Texas. He's got a whole bunch of stations in Texas he's on. One, of course, is KYYW, 1470 AM. He's also on Salem Radio. That's KCBQ AM, 1170 out of California. He's the host of Sovereign Radio. He's the man behind Sovereign Radio. And there it is. His name is Scotty Sachs. And I was talking with him before airtime, and we have a lot of sentiments in common. We've got a lot of, I don't want to say experience, but we agree on many, many, many things, okay? And I want you to listen very carefully, because he's going to be dropping some truth bombs, and it's going to be really, take notes. And also, keep your eye on this man, because is he going to explode? As the when I say explode, get huge all across the nation and become a household name. I believe he will. I believe that in my heart. And again, his name is Scotty Sachs. Before I get to Scotty, I just want to tell you this: you have the right to remain private. Now, obviously, that's a play on the right to remain silent, but you have the right to remain private. Did you know that Caesars Entertainment, they confirmed that Social Security numbers linked to rewards players were stolen in a recent Las Vegas cyber attack, or cyber attacks? Unfortunately, data breaches involving Social Security numbers like this one, hey, they're not uncommon anymore. This is why myself, along with tens of thousands of people, protect themselves online with Virtual Shield. Virtual Shield gives me security with an all-in-one privacy suite. Folks, this is fantastic. That includes an industry-leading VPN that anonymizes my IP address to help avoid ISP or government. That's right, government spying. Plus, prevents hackers or snoopers from seeing my online activity. Not that I have anything to hide, mind you, but nonetheless, folks, I highly recommend Virtual Shield, because you can get 67%, look at that, 67% off, lifetime discount with 60 days free right now across unlimited devices by going to virtualshield.com. That's virtualshield.com. Once again, virtualshield.com. All right. Again, with me is Scotty Sachs, the man, the myth, the legend. And this is the first time on the Hagman Report. And again, I'm so excited to have him. Mr. Scotty Sachs, how are you, sir?
Doug, it's such an honor to be with you today. I've been listening to you for a number of years, and I have to tell you, I'm a part of a humanitarian group. There's about 1,000 of us in the group. We all have been listening to you for many years. Wow. So you're a man to be reckoned with, because you've been at the center of Truth Media all the way back to the beginning. And I don't know how many years you've been doing this, Doug, but
I don't either. I feel like a pinball in life. I'm an investigator by profession. I found myself with a microphone in front of me one day, and I just ran with it. So, you know.
Well, you've been doing a great job, and it's an honor to be with you today. Glad to be on your show. And as I said before we started broadcasting, I want to have you on Sovereign Radio as well.
Absolutely. Folks, if you haven't heard any of Scotty Sack's programs, tune in again, sovereignradio.net. That's sovereignradio.net. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And he's got a show currently every Saturday. You can listen to him. But I'll tell you what, the man is loaded with information. Boy, a lot of stuff going on. Before we get into the actual meat of the program, if you want to just give a brief rundown of tell our audience, my audience, who you are, just a brief rundown to the extent you feel comfortable doing so.
Sure. Thanks, Doug. Well, Doug, I've been in mainstream media for 40 years now. What does that mean? I've done everything from produce and syndicate TV and radio programming, entertainment and sports programming. I have managed over $1 billion of advertising and sponsorship deals. So we have fed the meter of the cabal media. Not something I'm particularly proud of, but something that's garnered me a lot of good experience that we can talk about today. Some of the things I've learned. I'm a father. Most importantly, I have a teenage daughter. I have dear friends and family. And Sovereign Radio, I started in 2020, because the pandemic hit and a group of broadcasters called Town Square out of Texas, we would sit around and talk about the nonsense going on. And they said, we got to put a mic in front of Scotty and let him cut him loose to talk about the plan, as I called it, the plandemic from day one.
Yep.
And so, yeah, Doug, it's, you know, when you do anything 40 years, I don't care who you are. If you've been doing it 40 years, you got a lot to say about what you've done. Boy, you've got a lot of stories and a lot of good things. And you know where I'd like to start, Doug, for your audience, really kind of encapsulates our whole conversation today. Yes. How did we get here? How did we get here to, as you and I were discussing,
yes,
a broken system, not just a broken political system, not a broken financial system, but an education system, a medical system, every system we are living within is corrupted and broken to the core. And what I've seen in mainstream media, the human trafficking, the pedophilia, Doug, I've seen adrenochrome at Hollywood parties. I've seen it all. But I want to tell two anecdotes that really encapsulate why we're sitting where we're at in 2023. The first story is sitting one-on-one with the great Peter Jennings. And I do believe Peter Jennings was an honest-to-God, Canadian-born American patriot. He loved America. So I ended up with Peter one-on-one one night. I won't get into the backstory how I ended up one-on-one. But in a room of 1,000 people, I sat one-on-one with Peter Jennings eating dinner, just the two of us at a table. And as we began to talk, and he began to drink, I noticed he liked talking. He liked the company. He went to that table alone and sat there alone. I happened to join him late. I came late to the event. It was an ABC fall preview party where ABC reveals their new programming. They make people like Peter and Oprah and their star network stars come to these parties, and they hate it. They sit in the corner. And so I befriended Peter. Doug, my grandfather hated the man with a passion. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. He thought Peter Jennings was a Jew hater and an anti-Semite. And he let him know it. He threw things at the TV. He once flicked a lit cigar butt at a TV at Peter Jennings. Mad as hell as Peter. So about four drinks in, Doug, I thought, you know what? My one chance, I'm going to ask Peter about my grandfather. Is there any truth to what my grandfather thought of him? So I laid it on him, Doug. I said, hey, my grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. He did not like you. He thought you were an anti-Semitic, Jew-hating individual. He thought you were a great broadcaster, by the way. He was objective in that sense. And he watched your newscast despite the feelings he had for you because he thought you were the best in the business. And he was very flattered by that. And he said, Scotty, let me tell you something. I've never, ever been an anti-Semite or Jew hater. But when I was a rookie reporter, I didn't get a hotel room. I got a host family. For 18 months, I broke bread with a Palestinian Arabic family. And I suffered a human emotion called sympathizing. And I always sympathized with the Palestinian cause. Now comes the punchline, hence the story, Doug. He said, but Scotty, it doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I say on the air. I said, you're Peter Jennings. I place time in your newscast, Peter. I know you're the number one rated newscast in America. In fact, you have more people watching the news at 6 o'clock at night than anybody in the world. So, of course, it matters what Peter Jennings says. He says, no, it doesn't, Scotty, because everything you see on TV and radio and everything you hear is a media construct and a narrative. It's all to fit an agenda. That, my friend, came from Peter Jennings.
So you, in my industry, in the investigative world, you are a direct witness. I mean, you would testify. This is exactly what he said to you. This is all scripted, right?
Quote, Scotty, everything is a media construct in a narrative to fit an agenda.
There you go. And we've known this, but to hear it from Peter Jennings, I got to tell you. Yeah.
In the 90s. And did I take that thought and apply it to everyday life and start my course of truth and awareness? No. I was 29, 30 years old, a little bit older when I share the second story. Hold the thought that everything is a media construct and a narrative.
Okay.
I had the blessings of working with another great, truly an American-born patriot, one Mr. Johnny Cash. And I got the opportunity to syndicate a radio show for Johnny called Johnny Cash American Folklore. It was Johnny Cash strumming a guitar, telling stories about Americana. It was a beautiful show. I loved it. I was so excited to be a part of that show. When we cleared our 200 radio station, so now Johnny's radio show, Johnny talking about America and traveling around the country and really propping up America. It was Johnny's goal was to prop up America. He wanted people to know what a great country it was, and he did it through storytelling and his guitar. So we had a party and we had an event at the 200th radio station. That was our goal. And in the backstage, and he performed in the green room, I'm sitting with June Carter Cash, his beloved wife. They really were lovebirds. You wouldn't believe it unless you saw them together. You know, the media characterized them as such, and it was true. I saw them firsthand together. So June's sitting there introducing me to her friends. She's thanking me profusely for the work I'm doing. And I stop her and I go, you know, June, I'm barely 30 years old. I'm working with a legend. I'm making good money. You don't have to thank me. I want to thank you and Johnny and the entire Cash entourage that I've worked with, because you people are some of the greatest people I'll ever get to work with. And she says, no, Scotty, you don't understand something. Johnny doesn't want to work with the media or the record labels anymore. He does not want to be any part of the media or the music business. Wow. And I had just finished negotiating. We needed to negotiate the rights to the music. Johnny didn't own the music we used in the show. It was owned by the record label. I just finished negotiating the rights. So I had worked with his record label. Not nice people. I don't even remember the guy's name. Of course, I dealt with the lawyers had a lot of a hand in it. But here's the punchline to this story, Doug. June Carter Cash said to me, Scotty, you don't understand. Johnny does not want to be around these people in the music business and the media business anymore. So I asked her why, of course. Why, yeah. June? Why? What's Johnny's aversion? I live and breathe it every day. I'm making money and I'm having a good time. And I don't understand. Could you shed some light on it? Scotty, they're a Luciferian satanic cult. And they're really, really evil people.
Those were her words?
Her words, quote, Luciferian satanic cult, they're evil people. June Carter Cash, circa 1992 is where I put that, 92, 93. So now, take Peter, what Peter told us,
right,
that this world is a media construct and a narrative. Nothing is what it appears to be because of that. And we know about Mockingbird Media. We know what the CIA did in the 50s. They infiltrated, subverted. They first put people at the newspapers, and then they infiltrated radio and ultimately television, where the CIA put operatives to write the narrative that Peter Jennings was reading. What Peter Jennings was talking about, that everything is a construct and a narrative, that narrative came from the CIA, Doug. We know that now, right? We know about Operation Mockingbird Media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when you combine those two thoughts with those two great individuals shared with me, that it's a construct and a narrative in a Luciferian satanic world, is it any wonder we're sitting at the precipice of World War III, and after 60 years of, in our lifetime, of watching these people operate, they brought us to the brink of their Luciferian satanic plan, which is, of course, a one world government and a lot of depopulation and controlling all the world's resources. What they've been doing in Africa for many years, they want to do on our soil in the United States. They want to do in Canada, Mexico. They want to control the world as a one world government. This is not a secret. It's their new world order that George Bush talked about. George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. I've heard Nancy Pelosi say New World Order. This is not a secret agenda, right? They've put it out there. One of the things, Doug, interesting about the Luciferian satanic cabal, they are required by Satan to telegraph to us what they're doing, and they do it in movies. You never wonder why something that was in a movie 30 years ago happened this week?
Yes.
Right? Isn't that interesting? They put it in a movie. They put it in a TV show. Look at The Simpsons. How many Simpson episodes have come to pass?
I was just thinking that when you said that. You cannot deny that them telling us what they're going to do to us.
Foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's, they have to foreshadow. They're required. Satan requires them. You tell those useless eaters what you're going to do one way or another. You telegraph it. They're stupid. They won't pick up on it, but at least you can go to bed at night. And that's how they sleep. That's how they justify everything. They say, well, we told you we were going to do a plandemic. How many times do we have to tell you we're going to shut down the world and try to jab everybody with poison? This is, no secret.
Exactly. Okay. Wow, man. Please continue. This is exactly what everyone needs to hear. This needs to be reinforced. Folks, if you think we're covering old ground, hey, we're picking up new viewers, listeners all the time. However, this needs to be reinforced, and you are first party witness to exactly what we talk about every day. Continue, sir.
Well, these two anecdotes are always on my mind because it really does encapsulate how we got where we're at. When nothing is true, and we've all been subjected infinitum to the mainstream media. I don't care who you are, if you're Doug or Scott's peer, and we're in our 60s, and I don't think that's a secret. Nope. Doug, we've been subjected to mainstream media for six decades now. We've been listening to their music. We've been watching their movies, listening to their news, and watching their entertainment programs.
Yep.
Mind you, professional sports, which is now brought to you by the Luciferian cabal, because they now, and they have really always, but they now openly control pro sports. What's the evidence of this? LGBTQ night, drag queen story in left field before the ball game, show up and get a lecture from, show up for a tour to a ballpark and have the tour person talk about woke issues. I mean, this happened. with a tour that my daughter went on at a ballpark. We'll leave that ballpark nameless in San Diego. So they control everything, and they've permeated as much as you and I are detached from it. We can't get away from it because our friends and family, we have too many friends and family still sleeping. And when you tell somebody that the world's a construct and a narrative presented by the media and that it is run by Luciferian satanic people, there's still maybe 2 or 3 out of 10 people, Doug, who that's a completely foreign concept to.
Yeah.
They just don't understand that basic premise. So I always like to put that out there first. By the way, proof of the CIA talking points. God put me in front of them, Doug. He wanted me to see him firsthand. You're a private investigator. You really can't believe it till you see it with your own eyes, right?
That's right.
You don't believe anything as an investigator until you see it and you can prove it. So,
correct.
You remember Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
So that was George Floyd 1.0, right?
That's right.
That was the first George Floyd moment, the false flag event that happened. So the media story on Michael Brown was he was a good kid. He was trying very hard. He was employed. He'd found the Lord. He was going to church, blah, blah, blah. Michael Brown had just done a drug deal at a convenience store when the police confronted him. Now, he didn't deserve to die. Let's get that on the table. They didn't deserve, if they really did in fact kill him, and I never have gone down that road with George Floyd or Michael Brown. A lot of people want to say, well, George Floyd never was killed and Michael Brown was never really killed. I'm going to assume Michael Brown died and he didn't deserve it. And his family suffered the pain of that. But here's the deal. Michael Brown was not a good kid. He had done a drug deal, and he was you talk to the neighbors, which the CBS reporter I'm going to refer to later, talked to many of the neighbors and many of his classmates. And he had dropped out of high school, I guess, his senior year. So I was at CBS TV the day after that happened. And I was friends with the program director, who at some stations also wears the hat of news director. They make these guys perform multiple jobs. So I'm sitting, went to lunch after I did a deal with the CBS sales department. We were doing a Survivor deal or something like that. I don't even remember. I went to lunch with the program director, the news director. We came back from lunch. He went into his office. He picked up a memo on his desk, Doug, and he started swearing. Gosh darn son of a burn, mumbling under his breath. I said, what is it, Dave? He said, they want me to run this Michael Brown BS story about the talking points. He's a good kid. He did this and that. And he was reading me the talking points. Found the Lord, was going to church, just was employed, no longer involved in drugs, not. He wasn't doing drugs and he wasn't selling drugs. These are all the talking points.
Right.
So he says to me, Scotty, you're not here. You're a fly on the wall. Hold on a minute. He picks up the phone. He calls his boss. He says to his boss, who's on another floor somewhere in the building, hey, boss, why did you put this memo on my desk? This is not the story. I just watched the footage. That our reporter, we have a report. You approved the budget to send our best reporter and our best cameraman to Ferguson. We got the story. He went around. He talked to the family and some friends and some students. And he talked to people. Michael Brown is nothing like what's in the talking points here. Why did you approve the budget to send our crew if you're going to put this crap in front of me and tell me to run the story this way? His boss's answer was, Dave, if I remember correctly, you have 2 sons to put through college. You'll run the talking points on the memo. And he hung up on the phone.
All right. So he squirreled out. Okay. Yeah. That's.
So he
okay.
squirreled out. Yeah, yeah. He said, you got kids to put through college. Do it. Run right. the talking points. So I'm, you know, just like Peter Jennings, I got to ask about my grandfather. I got to ask him, where the hell do these talking points come from? Where is this piece of paper on your desk? Where did it originate from? Where did it come from? Who wrote these points? He said, Scotty, I can't really talk about that. He said, "I'll have to shoot you on your way out of the office, so I'm not gonna tell you." So I let it lie. On my way out, about 30 minutes later, I turned around. I said, "Dave, it's just you and me. We know each other 12 years. Come on, buddy. Where do those talking points come from?" He goes, "Shut the door." He goes, "Three-letter agency." Now, I'm not thinking FBI or CIA. I'm thinking three-letter agency. What could it be? He goes, "Federal agency." So I go, "FBI?" He goes, "No, the other one. Begins with a C." I said, "Can I see that memorandum?" He said, "Nah." I ran over to his desk. I didn't grab it out of his hand. He kind of put it in front of my face for a minute and pulled it back. There was an official federal government label on there. I couldn't read it, but he told me that memorandum came from the CIA. Those talking points came from the CIA.
So, okay. And for the listeners and viewers out there who don't remember, Michael Braun, 18-year-old thug, who on August 9th, 2014, was shot and killed by Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. It sparked a lot of riots. An FBI civil rights investigation ruined a lot of careers and a lot of lives. There's the thug made out to be a choir boy. But hey, you got to call it like it is. Not a good young man as presented. So, okay, but what you're saying, and the key takeaway here, the CIA created the talking points for the mainstream corporate legacy crap media.
They're called the 4 a.m. talking points. They've been around for 50 years, Doug.
4 a.m. talking points, okay.
That's what they call them. They get them out Eastern Standard Time, 4 a.m. So if you're a station on the West Coast, you come in, you know, you're a news director, you're probably in at 4 or 5 in the morning. Those talking points are already on your desk. And they're sitting there, and you know this is how you're going to roll with the news that day. Whatever the story of the day is, they don't put talking points to every story, just the main narrative that they want to get out for the day. So here we know we got a thug. You called him a thug. He was a thug. You know, by the time he was 21, it could have been a great kid, but at 18, was not a good kid. The media wanted to make this out to be the murder of a really good kid that had just found the Lord and yada yada. But he, in fact, was who he was. And so that just demonstrates what Peter Jennings told us. It's a construct and a narrative. And that narrative is created by these 4 a.m. talking points that the CIA puts out. Now, I haven't seen, I've been in news directors' offices since many times. I've talked to them about it. They're very hesitant to share with me. None of them were as good friends as this guy was. This guy was a close personal friend. The only reason I got access to those. And I believe this is all what I learned from Peter and Johnny and this experience, Doug, was all part of my priming for to be able to do Sovereign Radio with a sense of reality, an understanding of the way the world really works.
Folks, if you're just joining me, and I hope you're not, I hope you've listened to everything so far. Scotty Sachs, sovereignradio.net. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. I've got to tell you, some incredibly important information being passed. Information that's being verified. You know, if you say, "Well, I've known about this," to hear it firsthand is different than just knowing about it. And Scotty Sachs brings the receipts, and there it is. Okay, so frankly, I've never heard of the phrase 4 a.m. talking points, but I have now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so continue here, because everything in the media that we're seeing today, I dare say for the last 60 years, maybe 50 years, maybe 60s and overstatement, is really a product of the deep state, administrative state. Is that, would Indeed. You agree with me?
Oh, my God, yes, Doug, that is so true. So let's take all this conversation to current day. The right. Hamas, let's go back to the Hamas incursion into Israel on October 6th, I think it was.
It was the 7th, but yeah, I want to ask you about this because, man, go ahead, please.
Let me tell you my perspective and what I've been able to gather from journalists and citizens on the ground in Israel.
Okay.
First of all, we know that the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, and their intelligence agency, the Mossad, no choir boys. You know, sidetrack here for a minute. When I say the Mossad has been linked to 9/11, that they were a part with the CIA in planning 9/11. Have you heard this before, Doug?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so keep that in mind when we talk about the Mossad here. So the Mossad and the ID in Israeli Defense Force, arguably the best protectors of a border in the world. Would you agree? Nobody protects their border better than Israel for the reasons we understand.
From the IDF and the Mossad, well, from the IDF and soldiers themselves, a pigeon couldn't land, a mouse couldn't get near the
exactly
fence.
What I said in my show, Doug. I said a mouse or a cat couldn't cross that border.
That's right.
Without the iron discernment of the IDF, the Mossad knowing. So tell me how Hamas planned an attack for months and made their incursion into the Israeli border untouched. For 4 hours, ran rampant, beheading children and women. No sirens. Sounds like Lahaina to me. No sirens.
Thanks
no
for
emergency.
Bringing that up because
it's a parallel
forgot.
To Lahaina. There's so many parallels there.
Yep.
I was talking with Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show about this on Sovereign Radio. We do a segment called the Common Sense Minute, and Dave is a really common sense man. He can lay something out in a sentence. Takes me a paragraph to do anyway. So how did these suckers called Hamas, a.k.a. ISIS, a.k.a. Hezbollah, all creations of who? The Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, the United States military industrial complex
100%.
Created all these.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Created all these, right?
Yes, they did. Yes.
And they created for the purpose of war. So let's start with the premise that they got in. This war started because of this incursion. And so we know that this is what we call a false flag event. Now, that doesn't mean it's real for your listeners. When I say the term false flag event, I'm not saying it didn't happen and it's not real. Unfortunately, Alex Jones made a false flag event seem like it never happened. And I forgot the story behind that. But Alex, and he's doing good work today, I believe. Alex at one point may have led us all to believe false flag events are fake events. It's not fake. It happened. Hamas did enter Israeli soil and did behead, from the best we can tell, did really do what they've done, behead women and children.
I just want to mention right now, as of yesterday, 1,400 dead, 25%, only 25% identified, 210 confirmed hostages, and 30 of those are children. And we also have Americans being held hostage.
Yeah.
And yes, beheadings did occur. And but yes, it was the bloodiest day, the largest single day of slaughter of the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Go ahead, sir.
So why the false flag event? It's politically motivated. There's other reasons. Look over here, not over there. They want us to look away because what's really going on, and it's a multiplicity of things really going on behind the scenes, Doug. We know there's a looming financial collapse. We know there's a looming financial reset. Could happen any day now, for that matter. So that's going on in the background, and the powers to be don't want us paying attention to the economy collapsing. And until the day the stock market collapses and the dollar's dead, Americans aren't going to believe it. But that is imminent. We're going to get a rude awakening, us Americans, that our financial system is not infallible. But so that's going on. Let me tell you the parallel between Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, Doug.
Okay.
Three hotbeds for the deep state. They set up shop in Europe and Ukraine. They created the state of Israel. The Rothschilds funded and created the state of Israel. Israel is a playground for the deep state cabal. There's more human trafficking, more pedophilia, more tunnels per square foot in Israel than any country in the world. They are destroying the good guys. The white hats are in Israel destroying those tunnels, Doug, to traffic children. Okay. That's going on. That was Putin's purpose in Ukraine, was not to usurp the land, not to take over Ukraine and make the Ukrainians bow at the altar of Vladimir Putin in Russia. Putin was in Ukraine to take out the Nazis, the Azar Nazis that have been there since World War II. Thousands of them, tens of thousands of Nazis in Ukraine, the biolabs in Israel and Ukraine, and the human trafficking tunnels. The tunnels in Israel go all the way to the Vatican. Imagine that, Doug. They built an underground world that we never saw for thousands of miles from Israel to the Vatican. They traffic children all the way to the Vatican. It's crazy, hard to believe. I know this sounds like science fiction, but Doug, there's many pictures out there of the tunnels. That the tunnels are no secret.
Correct.
And that's what's going on in Israel behind the scenes. They're destroying the biolabs. By the way, the Biden family owned a lot of biolabs in Ukraine. I don't know about their ownership in Israel, but they did. In fact, the Biden family have part of their money scheme and scam from Ukraine were in these biolabs. But that's happening in Israel. It's happening in Taiwan, and it's happening in Ukraine. Notice there are three countries that have had some incursion now. China's been in Taiwan cleaning up there. So I'm going to tell you something, Doug, that I can't prove because there is no documentation. I haven't, like, I've seen proof for these other things, but my sources, good sources that are related to military intelligence, Homeland Security, the U.S. Treasury, they tell me that Putin, Trump, and Xi have a pact. And I said, first time I heard this, well, that's crazy. Why would Putin, Xi, and Trump get together on anything? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they all hate who? The deep state central banking families. Putin hates the central bankers. He was the first leader to throw them out years ago. Xi does not like the central bankers up his butt in his dictatorship. And we know Donald Trump is an outsider that deplores the central banks. So they're all working together to destroy this deep state central banking cabal. You're going to see China and Russia go into Israel. I believe Putin is days away from some declaration of war that involves going into Israel, and he's going to administer to the cleanup of these biolabs and the tunnels for human trafficking. And these three men have a pact called Save the World. Not save the world. We're going to have to rebuild the world ourselves. They're going to put the deep state out of business for good. That's the plan. Doug, have you heard of the White Hat Alliance that's been working since JFK's death to defeat the cabal? Have you ever heard of this?
Yes. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is I've heard it referred to in different
different names. So we call them the White Hat Alliance. A simple name. 22 generals got together when Kennedy died, mostly American generals. They recruited because the military is the last bastion of honest men in the deep state arena, political, military, industrial complex. And they got together, these generals, and they said, they just killed our great president. Imagine if Trump was assassinated, what the military, the White Hat military response would be. He is their commander in chief. And that is evidenced in the documentary. I want to encourage your audience to go watch The Greatest Show on Earth by Good Lion Films. You can go to goodliontv.com. Goodlion.tv. The Greatest Show on Earth. Nick Alvear is the producer. He'll be on Sovereign Radio this Saturday. He produced a film that proves Donald Trump is the commander in chief of the white hat military. There's a deep state military. We see those generals on TV. We see those generals working. There you go. That's it. We see the generals working for the deep state and for Biden and the administration and Obama's likely in the basement. Have you heard Obama's in the basement, Doug?
Yes, I have. And actually, I do have a source close to that whole cabal, if you will, that has been telling me now and giving me information about Obama and his role along with Valerie Jarrett and a few others. So continue.
So what I want to tell your listeners, I always like to end, you know, on a more positive note. We are headed, Doug Hagman, I'm here to tell your audience, we're headed for 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. That's where this all is going. These men have been working together. I've seen documents that I could never share. I have an NDA. I've seen things I believe are more than just makeshift, more than just propaganda put on a piece of paper to show me. These are documents that have been shown to a group that I'm a part of. I mentioned a humanitarian group to you. We have seen documents of the alliance, the White Hat Alliance. We know they're real. We know they're working against the deep state. We don't hear about them because guess what? Real military intelligence, Doug, doesn't leak.
Yeah, you won't hear about that. But let me just say this. We do have about 14 minutes left. If you, unless you've got a bounce, which I understand.
No, we're all good. Okay. I'm here for the duration.
Right.
I'm here for you.
Okay. So, all right. So go ahead.
Yeah. So this White Hat Alliance got together when Kennedy was assassinated. They've grown in numbers and strength. They're civic leaders. They're business leaders. They're political leaders. They're run by the military White Hat generals who don't leak information. The other thing is very important to understand. We all want to know. So, if there's a White Hat military alliance, why did we have the pandemic? Why did we have people dying from the shots? Why do we have people dying in wars? Because we're at war. We've been at war for 60 years with these people. War is ugly. People die in war. You can't win every battle. And the plan is long term. It's not a short. It's not to put the deep state out for a year or put them to rest for 10 years or not even 100 years. Doug, I have seen and heard from the right people. They're playing for 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. Okay. They're trying to take this deep state out completely. By the way, Trump executive order, December of 2017, allowed the Trump administration to seize the assets of anybody involved in human trafficking, pedophilia, crimes against humanity, and anything that was in violation of the RICO Act, which is any kind of corruption at all. And Trump and the White Hats have been draining the resources of the banking families for multiple years. And it's evidence now the Rothschilds' heirs, their artwork, their jewelry, their artifacts are showing up on auction sites. They're being auctioned off. They are being liquidated, Doug.
I can't believe you mentioned that because a few days ago, and I happened upon an auction site, which I don't do that. Of course, that's out of my league, but I saw a listing of the assets, of the artwork, of the the things owned by the Rothschild family. And I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? Because it almost looked like a what I've seen in like a bankruptcy proceeding or even a police auction, if you will. I looked at that. And, I mean, we're not talking two or three items. We're talking about a crap ton of things from this one family. So what you're saying is because of the December 2017 executive order by Donald Trump, this is one of the consequences?
Absolutely. It allowed, go read the executive order. It's beautiful and brilliant. Donald Trump and whoever he surrounded himself with in the background, this is all part of the plan. Everything, all of his executive orders, every last one, and everything Trump did, laying the groundwork, was part of this 60-year plan to oust the cabal. The Greatest Show on Earth proves that the executive orders and the military, during Trump's years, the military rewrote their law. And Doug, you and I know military law is different from constitutional law.
Correct.
The military operates on its own law. If you remember Lindsey Graham questioning Judge Kavanaugh when he was being approved and being questioned by the Senate, Lindsey Graham went down this line of questioning. Me and my friends were in the room cheering. I remember going, "That a boy, Lindsey," who's, by the way, not a good guy himself. Lindsey cut a deal a long time ago. He's an actor playing a role. He's a deep state guy playing a role, wearing a white hat now. He is on the white. He capitulated to the white hats, and he's been playing a role ever since Trump came on board. But Lindsey questioned Judge Kavanaugh. He said, "Do you recognize, Judge, there's a separate law for the military than constitutional law?" "Yes, of course." "And does military law have the right to do X, Y, and Z?" And he referenced military tribunals.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, I absolutely I remember. And folks, you can find that, I think, online.
That is online. Yep. You can search Lindsey Graham questions Judge Kavanaugh, how whatever terms you use. I've used the video and the audio for my radio show many times. So Lindsey's asking Judge Kavanaugh, "Can we try people through the military law versus constitutionally through the court system?" And Judge Kavanaugh says, "Absolutely." What do you think's going on in the background, Doug? There are military tribunals being held now in secret. And none of them, I understand there are a couple Truth or Media people that were invited to cover these. I haven't talked to one of them, so I can't confirm it, but I do believe it myself. So the whole, this is all part of this plan. Putin, Xi, Trump here at home. Putin's got all of Europe covered. Xi has Asia covered. They're destroying the deep state cabal that's been a global force for evil for probably thousands of years, Doug, but certainly hundreds of years. In our entire lifetime, we've lived in a cabal deep state system our entire lives. Maybe we didn't know it till later in life, but we've been a party to it. We've seen it, and we've seen it grow. They only got stronger as we got older. The cabal got stronger.
Yeah.
And now they're at their weakest point ever. They are rabid, savage dogs up against the wall, Doug. They are in harm's way. They know it. Hence, they're loading guns and loading and shooting all their bullets at one time. You notice everything happening now at one time, right?
Oh, yes.
That's the deep state firing their last round of bullets, Doug. That's all this is.
Wow. Okay. And is really at the heart of things, you've got really the 13 bloodlined families, self-anointed as the small g gods of our society. I mean, this is going back in time. What I've seen and what it appears to me is the infighting among the families as well.
Yeah, that's going on. I don't know. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole, but I understand it's true. Hey, let's remember what Amshel Rothschild said to the world.
Okay.
"Give me control of a nation's currency. I care not who makes the laws."
Yep.
And they have operated globally, country by country, on that premise. Put in a central bank, control the money supply, control the economy, control energy resources. And doesn't matter who's making the laws, who the legislators are. Doesn't matter what government you have in place. When you control everything they've controlled financially, he who has the gold makes the rules. And that's been a way of life our entire life. But that is coming to a screeching halt. And we're witnessing, from Hamas going into Israel and Putin going into Ukraine, we're witnessing the cleanup of the deep state. That's what's really happening in the background, Doug.
What is Biden's role here? This cognitively impaired potato head, mush for brains guy. What's his role? And by the way, I've been meaning to ask you this. I mean, it seems like instead of the Oval Office, everything's a friggin' soundstage with Biden. Whether it's Biden number one, number two, number three, because I do believe you've got some different Bidens out there based on
there are multiple Bidens. You know, I have a Hollywood makeup artist friend, and I sent her a picture of the real Joe Biden, circa VP years when he was VP,
right?
Because that was the real Joe Biden when he was vice president. And then I sent her a couple of pictures of Biden, the president. And I didn't say a word. I said, look at these pictures and tell me what you think. She came back to me. She said, well, there's one picture that must be the real Joe Biden. The others are masks, Scott. These are Hollywood grade A professionally done masks. That's what you're looking at, is a man in a mask.
I believe
I didn't see it, but I understand his chin fell off on camera the other day.
Yeah, I call him two-ball Kane, two-ball chin. Yeah.
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 So the man, the myth, his role, by the way, was in fact to wake up America. They installed Joe Biden. You got to go back to the 2020 elections. Election night, Space Force. Yep, Trump created Space Force. Why? Because they control the internet. They control everything that happens with the satellites and the internet down to Earth. Space Force is really the most pivotal agency of the government right now. So Space Force, election night, Trump and Space Force in some skiff somewhere watched the election get stolen. Doug, they let them steal the election. This is all a plan to wake America up. If Trump won and we had four more years of Trump, so good. We'd have four more good years, right?
Yeah.
Then what? What happens, right?
Yeah.
So this has all been a charade to expose how evil, to expose their agenda. Simple as that. To expose their agenda. The open borders, the pandemic, the depopulation plan, wars, all wars are bankers' wars, bring on war.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have World War III. We're going to be brought to the brink. We're all going to be believing in the next week, if we're not already, that World War III is imminent, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the feeling now, if you turn on the TV? World War III is imminent.
Well, you've got two aircraft carriers, one in the Eastern Mediterranean, one in the Persian Gulf right now. You got attacks on U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria. What the hell, isn't it? Or is this all just a show?
It's a show.
Yeah.
We will not have nuclear war now. We may have some incidents that look like it. I do believe, and you and I were talking before we started, we're definitely going to see terrorist attacks. These immigrants that have come through our porous open borders, which I've had border agents on, like Victor Avila, great patriot. Victor has told me several times on Sovereign Radio that these borders have to have been left open for a reason. He doesn't understand the reason. The reason is to wake Americans up to their agenda, the communist, socialist cabal, the deep state, whatever we want to call these people. Their agenda was to destroy us from within, not from nukes coming from another, to destroy us from within, bring in this class of citizens that are military age, so they could wreak havoc? You think 2020 was bad with Antifa and BLM? What we have in our country now is capable of jihad on American soil, right? These are jihadis now on our soil.
Yep.
And we're going to see, I believe, we're days away from attacks around the country, and they're going to be real. This is not, it's a false flag. Again, it's all an event being created because we're at war. War, people die. But in order to show the American people what's really going on in the world and the real agenda of the people that have run the world, we have to, this is the military brilliant plan to show the world, expose the agenda of the deep state. That's all what this is about, Doug.
What is our response? What should our response be as American citizens? I will stipulate everything you said, okay, for the purpose of this conversation, everything you said, 100% accurate. And frankly, I'm not seeing too much wrong with this. What's our response to be if we see Hamas or the Palestinian Authority or whoever in the streets causing mayhem, chaos, death, destruction? What are we to do?
I'll tell you what New Yorkers think we're to do.
Go ahead.
They're buying more ammo than ever before in New York. They're buying guns at a record pace in New York City. That's true. That's not a joke, Doug.
No, I know that. And I was talking with a gun merchant or dealer, and of course you know that 5.56 ammo.
Lake City.
Manufacturer.
So our response is to be ready. You know, to be armed if they're coming to your house. Of course. You know, that's why we have the First Amendment. We're Amen. To protect our family and our homes and our neighborhoods. I think I wish we had time. We don't have the time. If we were to do it over again, I would get every constitutional sheriff to form posses right now to deputize as many men, capable men in his community, in his county, and create forces to oppose the Hamas guys, because they're going to be organized and trained to a point, but there's going to be a lot of random things hitting on our streets soon. And our response should be vigilant. If you see something, say something, report it to, you know, authorities. But I don't know what else we can do but prepare and arm up and do what New Yorkers are doing: buy guns, buy ammo, be ready. And I think we're going to be pretty much forced to stay home, Doug, because I think we're headed for a little period of martial law. I really do.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I don't. What in your mind would that type of violence precipitate, and perhaps a reaction precipitate a declaration of martial law, or is there something else
It may precipitate a few things. It may precipitate the EBS. You've heard about the emergency broadcast system being used to communicate to Americans, yep, not from the deep state, but from the white hat military. It may precipitate a shutdown of the entire economic system, the distribution of goods and services. We may go dark for 10 to 14 days. I think that's inevitable. If not for nothing else, the financial system resetting, we have to go dark at some point. Credit cards, ATM cards, ATMs, the entire financial system, in order to change from the SWIFT system that we're on and the current deep state system to the new system, call it whatever you want, terms floating around, QFS, quantum financial system, a lot of terms floating around. But we're going, and I have bet my life on it, Doug, because I put all my money in gold and silver, that we're going to an asset-backed currency led by gold and silver. Silver. Bo Polny is one of the greatest, I think, analysts of our time about economic, using the Bible and his analysis of the financial markets. He says Black Monday, the 31st, is coming. He believes the financial collapse may happen next week. Oh. That's how close we are. He just went on a podcast and said October 31st, Halloween, I think that's Monday, is Black Monday, he called it. But so we're destined for a complete shutdown of the system, Doug. This can all happen simultaneously. The terrorist attacks on American soil, the shutdown, the martial law, the stores, all retail, all distribution shuts down, and we go dark for a period of 10 to 14 days.
Very interesting. Scotty Sachs, I told you, folks, he wouldn't disappoint. Scotty, would you come back with me?
Anytime, Doug, and I'd love to have you on my show.
All right, we can arrange that. God bless you, my friend. It's a pleasure. Thank you for your time. God bless you, and may God protect you. And folks,
an honor, Doug, an honor.
All right. Folks, have a great day.